children to Children's Church, and once again, it's a distinct honor and a privilege to invite Brother Mike East to this pulpit to preach the word, to minister.
I never had the opportunity to go to Bible college, and perhaps I missed something. When I had my first meeting with Jesus Christ, it was not planned. No one had orchestrated it, at least not to my knowledge. And I came on a whim. I don't know how else to say that. I came on a whim. I went for one reason. I left for another one. And my life was forever changed. I have never liked predictability. I don't like to be predicted. Services, as we call them, we have these gatherings, and they're predictable in a lot of cases. A lot of people go to church knowing full well what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and what time they're going to go home. And it becomes predictable. The format is we come a little early to pray. We sing 4 or 5 songs. We take up an offering. Whoever's going to preach gets up, reads a text, gives you a title, usually repeats the title twice to make sure that you got it and that he's remembered and that it gets labeled right. We have to have credit. You know, there has to be perspective. You want to make sure the right person gets the right credit. And then we can pretty much predict what time it's going to be over, depending on who it is, unless he's long-winded, and then there's a little frightening moment there. But in all reality, I just summed it up. That's pretty much how it is. Where are you going to be tomorrow night? Well, it's church night. I'll be there. I'll be there from 6 or maybe a little before 6 until about, I should be back by 9. That gives me a pretty broad window there, depending on what happens. I hate that people can predict what I'm going to do or what I'm going to say. And I hate that we get into that mode, that we come to church under the guise of being predicted. We're predictable. Can I tell you tonight that I want to do something sneaky tonight? I don't know how else to say that. Brother Anthony, I don't want to be predicted tonight. I don't want everybody to leave and say, well, it happened just like I expected. You can be seated if you'd like.
I hope you're not seated very long. And I may not be up here very long. We wait in anticipation on everything that takes place. You sang a song tonight I never heard. I don't know where that song came from. I don't know who wrote it, but it was different. Sometimes a different song makes a difference in the service. Because we sing the same old ones all the time. They're predictable. And I just thought tonight, Lord, wouldn't it be something if something different happened other than what we came expecting to happen? I hope he don't preach real long, you know, because he's a great guy, but It's just, you know, an hour's just a long time. Not at the Super Bowl. An hour's a long time at the waiting room in the hospital. An hour's a long time at a funeral. We are predictable people. But somebody here tonight has a crisis. They're really not watching the clock. They're hoping to get an answer. They're hoping to get an answer. What if we could come to the conclusion that God, tonight, we're here for the duration, and I don't want to go home with the same problems I came with. I just don't want to do that. I would like, and don't take the please don't take this personal. Is this streamed? Do you stream? That's probably good. But tonight, if we can make a little change, I don't want you to take anything personal. But don't you think the people that have the problem would like it if you took it a little bit more serious? Don't you think that? If you get a bad report, as we call it, we use that term a lot nowadays. Bad reports aren't always bad reports. Sometimes bad reports are really good reports. We just don't know it. Sometimes the bad report is designed to get you a good report. And sometimes the bad report changes the way you think and the way you act and the things that you do. And because of that, you get rid of the bad report and replace it with a good report. When my brother-in-law, whom I was very close to, my wife and he were very close, when he was diagnosed with cancer and they told him he had maybe 30 days to live, that's pretty bad to think you're in the epitome of good health and they tell you at the hospital because you went in with abdominal pains. So some of you now will get abdominal pains during this service. That's predictable because somebody talked about it. And I could name a dozen other symptoms, and you'll have them before you leave. You know, I've had that a long time. Yeah, well, honey, I just never said nothing about it. And they told him, you've got 30 days, at best 10 months, to live. 40 years old. And when we found that out, my wife was on the phone and he told her, he was in the hospital. He said, I just came in because I thought I had food poisoning or whatever it was. And he said, lo and behold, now some of you will have food poisoning before the night's out. I'm not going to wear you out, Emma. And so she said, I could tell something was wrong. I didn't know what was being said on the other end of the line. I didn't know what she was saying, what was being said. I could only go by what she was saying. It's kind of like an impeachment progress. I just tossed that right out there. And I said, what's wrong? What's going on? And I started moving closer to the phone. And she kept talking to him, and then she started crying. I knew something had to be bad wrong. I said, what is wrong? And finally, she hung up and she said, he's got cancer and he has the worst kind of cancer they said you can have. I ain't going to mention the name because I don't want anybody to get it tonight. And let me tell you that if you truly are a server of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing can happen to you if he doesn't allow it. You cannot be overcome by any disease if Jesus Christ does not allow it. If he allows it, it's because it's for the greater good in your life. And she told me, and I said, oh my. And the first thing that entered my mind, the first thought was, I said, you know, your brother has been around me for years, but he's never opened a door for me to come in. Sometimes the door is open, but we can't see it. And we're waiting for some extra phenomenal thing to take place that we know it's time to make a move. You know, 5 yellow butterflies flew into my car. It's time to stop and pray for the guy on the corner. We go through these things. And so I said, I never got your brother into a Bible study. I never did the things I wanted to do with your brother. I thought about it. I talked about it. But I never got around to it. Have you ever had that happen to you? You got somebody you dearly love, and when you think about them, you're all fired up when you're thinking about them. But then you get caught up in something, and you forget all about that. And that's the way I felt. And she said, well, I know. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going down to the hospital. I said, I've got to get to him. I want him to know that Jesus Christ is everything I've ever said he was. I just haven't been big enough to talk to him about it. I went down to the hospital the next morning, Brother Portman. There was a crowd in his room, and I walked up, and I could see into the room, and I saw all these people. He was a member of another denominational church, and they were the minister from his church was standing over him, and he was talking. I didn't go in, but I was eavesdropping. Don't look at me with sour faces. You've eavesdropped. And just depending on how good the story was to determine how much you were involved in the eavesdropping. I'm very blunt, man. I listened, and the minister said, we've got to get you ready to meet him. You know, you're not going to make it. There's no cure, and you've just got to, so we're going to work the next 30 days to 10 months, whatever it takes, to get you ready to meet him and to get you to have everything in order and make sure you got all your finances. Man, you're going through this thing, and I'm standing outside the door, and I turned around, I went home. My wife said, what happened? I said, nothing. Why? I said, because, I said, his minister was there, and they've already got him dead. I said, so I'm going to wait, and I'm going to call him. And I called him on the phone. And he was, of course, he was perfectly able to talk and everything. And I said, his name was Herbie. I said, Herbie, man, I got to get with you. I got to talk to you about some things. He said, okay. He said, I'd like that. He done real well financially. You know, he had all the things that everybody would like to have. And I went to him and I said, Herbie, I've never really gotten serious with you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, I've got to try to make amends on that. He said, well, I appreciate that. I said, I want you to let me teach you a Bible study. He said, man, I certainly haven't gotten anything to lose. And I said, well, I want to teach you a Bible study. He said, okay. I said, I want you to go to church with me. I want you to experience what we experience on a regular basis. Hello. I want you to experience what we take for granted. I want you to experience what we think is a predictable service that we calculate what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. I want you to experience what we say is the greatest thing on earth. And yet we struggle to get here. And a lot of those that say they feel that way are not here tonight. Where are they? Where are they? Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. And so I said, Herbie, I want you to go to church with me. He said, I'll go Sunday. This coming Sunday, I'll go. I said, okay. I said, just come in to... You got to come right through where we live. Just come on and you can ride with me and my wife. He said, okay. He was a big fella. I drove a Volkswagen. And he came and he got out of the car. We went and got in the Volkswagen. His wife got in the back seat. She's a CPA. He owns a big business. And you know, we're Pentecostals. We're the people that dress funny, the people that pray funny, the people that do a lot of funny things, and the things that a lot of us try to hide because we don't want people to think bad of us. We're a little afraid when we bring them. God, I hope Sister Smith don't get up tonight. Oh. Brutal truth, man. Reality. Reality. And we're so afraid that if it don't go right, they're going to be offended. They didn't come because you invited them. You that are here tonight, you're not here by accident. You didn't just happen to come along. This is not happenstance. The Bible said no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. So whatever reason you're here for tonight, the Spirit of the living God drew you here. He brought you here. He created circumstances in your life so that you would be here on this date at this time with me in the pulpit. He created that. And so I'm taking him to church, first time. New Life, United Pentecostal Church, Austin, Texas. David Bernard, pastor. That's where we're going. We're driving down the road. And it made me think about the first time I took another man years before that. Never been in a Pentecostal church in his life. And all the way to church, my wife was concerned. It was a Sunday morning. She's concerned about how some of the people act. I think that's legitimate. In this particular church, at Brother Bernard's church, there was a Korean woman. And she couldn't hardly speak English, but she loved God. And she usually sat toward the back. And she would have, every now and then, she'd have a spell. And she'd get up and she'd scream like a banshee. And man, she'd start doing all of this and turning in circles and carrying on. And when we got there that morning, it was a little crowded, and the only place we could sit was close to her. And in fact, we had to move into the second row there, and there was no place on the end because Pentecost was like the end cap. Sometimes visitors come in and we got them trapped, and that's what they're worried about. Usher's going to move me to the middle. Ain't no way to get out. I got to get over that guy on the end. That guy that's bobbing up and down, man, could get hurt trying to get in, you know. And then on the front seat, in the front of that, there was an elderly lady, about 80. And I had known her because I'd pastored her back in the early 70s. That woman taught, I would venture to say, there were 1,000 people in church because of her. And now she's 80. But when she was younger and I pastored her, she didn't do it often, but boy, when the Spirit of the Lord would enter the room, she would start to dance, and there wasn't no doubt in your mind this was real, because nobody could dance like that and not kill themselves. And you know what breakdancing is? That's what she looked like. And that looked good on somebody like Brother Portman, you know. That don't look good on an 80-year-old woman. You know, every now and then I like to do the moonwalk, you know, and they say, man, look at the old guy. And she was sitting right in front, on the row in the front. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Some things you can't predict. And the service starts. It's just a normal service. The church is nearly full. Brother Bernard is up at the pulpit. And all at once, the Spirit of the Lord enters the room. Ha! Nobody knew it was coming. They didn't know that, because you can't predict God. You can only predict people. And when the presence of the Lord started to fall, some guy on the far side of the church, far side, it was a bigger building than this. It seated about 1,000 people, but it was built on a kind of half circle. Some guy on the far side jumped up and took off running. He was running fast. Well, this young man that we had brought, he was a grown man. He was born a Catholic, raised a Catholic, and wasn't a good Catholic. And this guy ran right behind where we were sitting. And he's running fast, and I looked over at this young man, and his eyes were big as saucers. And about that time, another one. And before long, there was 8 or 10 runners. It looked like a competition at the Olympics. And they were running all around the building. And my wife, I was watching my wife, and it's like she was saying, oh, boy. Of all mornings. Don't say you had never felt that way. And son, after those runners, all at once. He's sitting right next to the Korean woman. Like if I moved you over, sit down, there was no place else for him to sit. And since the benches were crowded, he actually had contact with her. She come up off that chair like somebody jolted her with a cattle prod. And she started all that dancing and that loud noise she was making. And I looked at him. He had a disease that I didn't know about. It's where you perspire and you will actually, I mean, I've seen it run off the end of his fingers. He can't stop the sweating. And I'm thinking, boy, what's this going to provoke? Man, a few minutes later, he was soaking wet. I mean, it was running off his brow. He had a handkerchief. He's trying to get the sweat off of him with this stuff going on. It all happened in a matter of moments. And before that lady could even get calmed down or whatever she was going to go through her cycle, breakdancing grandma was up. I want to tell you, she had a spell, man. I mean, she looked like she had lost about 20 years on her age because she had it going. I mean, that break, man, you'd have loved her. I'm going to tell you, boy, she was getting after it. And there's nowhere we can go. He can't go nowhere. He is completely immobilized. He can't do nothing. I told you that whole story to tell you this. When the service was over, I got him out in the vestibule of the church. And I said, well, what'd you think of that service? He said, that was different than anything I've ever experienced. I said, well, is that good or bad? He said, well, I'll be honest with you. He said, when them people got up and started sprinting through the church, he said, I've never seen nothing like that. He said, but I was okay. He said, I was okay with the runners. He called them runners. He said, when that lady from another country stood up beside me and started screaming and jumping up and down, he said, I want to tell you, I wanted out. But there was no place to go. He said, but I got to be honest with you, Mike. Call me by my first name. He said, I got to be honest with you, Mike. When that 80-year-old woman started breakdancing, I was all done. I said, so will you be back here tonight with me? He said, I don't know if I can stand a doubleheader of this. That was his answer to me. 20 years later, he don't feel that way. He don't feel that way. In fact, he's got a bottle of oil in there in his kitchen that he keeps. And he prays that God will touch them when they're sick. He prays over his children. He don't feel the same way he used to feel. So while I'm driving down the road with my brother-in-law in the car by me, I want to tell you something he said to me. And I hope if you don't remember anything that happened this morning or today, you'll never forget what I'm about to tell you. My brother-in-law was sitting over there. He was kind of crowded in that little Volkswagen Jetta. And he's sitting there and nobody's talking. It's a very somber moment. And we drive down the road. And finally he turns to me. And he says, I said, all right, didn't turn to me. He's looking straight at it. He says, I thank God for this cancer. And I said, what did you just say? He said, I thank God for this cancer. I said, why are you thanking God for cancer? He said, because there ain't no other way that God would have ever gotten me to go to church with you. Three days later, David Bernard and I were sitting in his basement. He had a basement. We don't have them down there, but he had one. It was all finished. Beautiful home. We were sitting in his basement teaching him a Bible study. I baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He didn't die in 10 months. He died nearly 3 years later. When he died, he went to heaven. He went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I baptized him in water, he called me at home and he said, I got something I want you to do. I said, what? We'd been having these Bible studies. We was having two of them a week. He said, I want you to baptize me in the name of the Lord Jesus. I said, okay, I can do that. He said, I got a specific request. I said, what? He said, I want to go out on my boat in the middle of Lake Buchanan. That's near where we live, a big lake about 10 miles wide. He said, I want you to go, not nothing like Lake Michigan, but it was a big lake for us. He said, I want you to go out in there. He said, out in the middle of the lake, he said, there's a sandbar. He said, it's beautiful. He said, I want to take my big boat out there and I want you to baptize me right there where that sandbar is. Is that okay? Can you do that? I said, absolutely. I told my wife, we got in the car, we headed up to where the lake was, and we were about to have a storm. Skies were black. I mean, it was about to come a storm. I didn't want to be out on that lake in no storm. But we got in the boat and went out there, and when we got way out in the middle of the lake and we got to the place where he was, he's where he wanted to be baptized, we climbed out of the boat. I gave my wife a camera. Now, We didn't have the technology we got now, but we had cameras. I gave her the little camera thing. I said, I want you to film this. We're going to baptize him. I want to get it on film. His wife's sitting there. She says, I want you to baptize me too. I said, that's fine. Certified public accountants need to be baptized more than about anybody else I know of next to a lawyer. And we got out in the lake, and I'm in water about up to here. And as I start to move toward him, and the weather is really not favorable at all at once, I have this on film so you won't, I could prove to you if I had to that I'm not lying. When I got over to him and laid my hands on him, a big hole appeared in heaven, and the sun shone right through that hole like a spotlight right down upon him when I put him in the water in Jesus' name. You can't predict that. You can't say that's going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you tonight, the God that you come here to serve 4 or 5 times a week, He's a mighty God. There's nobody like him in all the earth. He is the bright and the morning star. He is the first and the last. He is the great I am. He is everything they said he was, and he's more. And he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above anything that you might think or ask. My brother-in-law stirred up that whole community. Over the next 2 years, he became an icon. Every church in that area was looking at him. He helped people to get money to raise. He raised money to build other churches. Nobody predicted that. What we have here tonight was not done in a corner. When you sang that song a while ago, Hallelujah, that's an old song. Hallelujah, not many words to remember in that one. But the word itself, hallelujah, sometimes pronounced alleluia. That last part of that hallelujah is Jah. That has to do with the name of God. The word actually means it's universal. In any language that you say it, it's pronounced alleluia or hallelujah. And it means I give all to Jehovah. It is a sacrificial song. And when you sing it, stop and think. When you sing those words, hallelujah, I give all to Jehovah. Hallelujah. I give all to Jehovah. Hallelujah. I give all to Jehovah. Hallelujah over cancer. Hallelujah over sugar diabetes. Hallelujah over every sickness and disease that could be in this building. Hallelujah over sin. Hallelujah over unrighteousness. Hallelujah over death and doubt. Hallelujah. I give all to Jehovah. Some of you that are here tonight, you have needs. You have needs right now. There's things going on in your life. Some of you have pains and you don't know what they are and you're terrified. You don't want to go to the doctor because you're scared of what they'll tell you. Fear has torment. The devil, Satan, Lucifer, Slewfoot, whatever you want to call him, he's the God of this world. He only has one weapon, fear. He can't hurt you physically because God won't allow him to. Nothing can happen to you unless God allows it. And if God allows it, he did it because it's the best thing for you. You don't have to fear the devil. All he can do is make you afraid. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You do not have to fear the devil. You don't have to fear cancer. You don't have to fear disease. Jesus gave us a promise. He said, I will never, 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 never leave you nor forsake you. You belong to me. You are mine. Nobody can pick you out of my hand. Nobody can deceive you. You are bought and paid for. Next time you get ready to come to church, I want you to come with that in mind. That my brother-in-law said, thank God for this cancer. If that's what it takes to get me right with God, then I need the cancer. God never intended for us to be a group, a crowd, an assembly. That people could say, oh yeah, here's what will happen when you get there. Some of you here tonight have needs. You've got things going on in your life. Something wrong in the house. There's a bunch of them. Brother, if we could see, Brother Portman, if God would just kind of lift the veil and allow us to see what he sees, it would shock us. It would shock us. We would see people in here that have actually thought of suicide. We would see people sitting on these pews that are terrified of their husbands, terrified of this and terrified of that. We would see things that we're not ready to see. But you see, all of us here, we claim we want to get rid of sin. We don't want sin to prevail. But yet, we don't work to get rid of sin. We want to keep living like we are and keep sin hanging on because some of it ain't really that bad. Tonight, I want this to be different. I think, not I want it. Let me retract that statement. I don't want that to sound like it was part of my plan because I didn't intend this when I came in this room. But I thank God tonight has some people in this room that he's got you all. He's got you, man, he's got the target right on you. And he's saying, I want to supply your need tonight. And it doesn't matter what it is. I want to supply it for you. And how you respond is going to determine just how far this will go. What do you need from God? What would you like him to do? Maybe it's somebody else. You know, James 5:14 talks about, is any sick among you, let him pray. Let him pray. Call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil. And pray in the prayer of faith to save the sick. But the next verse says, pray one for another. Sometimes God don't really want you to pray at all for yourself. He wants you to pray for somebody else. Would you like to see God do something for somebody else in here tonight, Brother Dixon? Just do something that they didn't come expecting it. They had no idea that this was the night that God was going to do that. And we have the opportunity here tonight to see God do something extraordinary. Extraordinary. And everything we're going to get from God is going to depend on how seriously we take that song y'all sang. Not the last one. That was a great song. But hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's not just a worship song. That's not just a song that we can sing makes everybody feel good. That's a proclamation. That's you saying one word that says it all. One word that says it all. I give all to Jehovah. So, Lord, here's my fear. Here's my fear, God. There's my fear. God, here's my bad spirit. I got a temper problem. God, I want to leave it down here tonight. I'm a guy that puts everything off. I procrastinate. I want to get rid of that tonight. I want to leave that down here. I don't want to carry that no more. I'm a gossiper and a busybody. I want to stop doing that. I look for the negative and never the positive. I've always got something to say, and most of the time it's no good. I can see everything's wrong with everybody else, but when I look in the mirror, I can't see nothing wrong. But I can find fault with others. Leave that down here tonight. Leave that down here tonight. What would you do? What would happen in this building tonight if every one of us were to release everything we didn't need out of our lives? You know what we would do? What we would do? We would reach a state of perfection. Now, that doesn't mean perfect in the sense that you take it, but the scripture says that perfect love casts out fear. That word actually means complete love. Sometimes the problems in our lives is that the love of God's not complete in our life. Not that we don't love God, it's not complete. And God only takes complete love. He wants all of you. Here I am, God. Here I am, God, without one plea. I don't have one excuse. I'm not holding on to anything, God. I want to get rid of everything. Tonight, God, I want to know that I'm all in. God, I have put everything in the pot. There's nothing left. I'm not going to hold nothing back. I'm going to bring it all and lay it at your feet, Jesus, and I want to go home a different way. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have found favor in the eyes of God. I don't want anything between us. You agree with that, brother? I see you shaking your head. You have to agree with that, don't you? It's time to put it all in his hand and say, God, I don't want any more. Would you like to see God do something here tonight? Is this your church? Okay. I don't know everybody that's here. So don't get embarrassed. What's your name?
Sylvanus.
Who?
Sylvanus.
Sylvanus? I like that name. Sylvanus, you want to take a walk with me? If I embarrass you, just tell me. Don't hit me. Look out here at this crowd, Sylvanus, with me. You can see what I see. You see faces out there and you see people. They have problems, don't they? They need God. They need help. But their pride won't let them do it. They can't seem to cut it loose. Can you see that? Look closely. Just look at them. I'm giving you permission. If they don't like it, that's too bad. Look at them. Look all across. They can't cut it loose. Do you believe that if they cut stuff loose tonight, they'd go home a different way than what they came?
Absolutely.
Do you know that we have the power? Tell me if you agree with this. We have the power right here that if we do the things we're supposed to, in 30 days, this church would be full to capacity.
100%.
You agree with that?
100%.
It would be full to capacity. Why? Because there won't be anything to inhibit us. We sometimes wonder, God, why don't you fill this house up? Send them over here. But if he sent them over here and did it like that, then the condition that we're in, and you folks are in better condition than most, if that makes you feel any better. But all across America, God could send them. He could send them in droves. If he can give them guys on TV 20, 30,000 people, he could give us 20, 30,000 people. But he's not going to, just like he didn't send them over there. They went on their own. But if he sends them here and we're not in a condition to receive them, we will corrupt them with what we've got going on, and we'll have twofold the problem we had to begin with. But if we get everything worked out, Sylvanus, can't you see it happening? Can you believe it with me? Huh? Man, look at him, man. He's smiling. He's smiling. He's ready to take this mic, start preaching. All we've got to do is trust God. Now, how do I trust God? Well, let me give you the definition of trust. I've given it to you before, but you didn't get it. I'm going to give it to you again. Trust is when you surrender all of your control to the outcome. Does that make sense? Appreciate you helping me. Now, don't get up and leave because we ain't done. Hallelujah to God. Who's your friend? Brother Salik, I like that, how you spell it. You believe what me and him just done is the truth? And it can happen right here tonight, can't it? You don't have the power or the ability to do anything. You can't heal one person, not one. You can't. But you know who can. See, you know who can. And through your prayer and through your effort, God is able to touch other people. He's always worked through people. Through you, God is able to touch someone else. Would you like God to touch someone else around here tonight? Take a look around. Pick a couple of them out. Just pick them out in your head. Would you like God? Hey, David, it's good to see you tonight. You don't know anybody. You pick somebody at random. How about you, Sylvester? You want God to take somebody tonight here and change their life completely? Just take around. Look around. You don't have to stop and focus on anybody, but get them in your head. Get to thinking about them. Think about their name. Look around. Come on, look around. Take a good look. You can stand up if you need to. Make sure you don't miss anybody. How about you, brother? Is there somebody here you'd like to see God do something tonight for a miracle? Change their lives? Maybe open a door, maybe start something going in their life to where they would become an outlet for everything imaginable. Hey, we're all here for the same reason. We want to kick the devil right square in the teeth and get him out of the building. We want to see faith work. We want to see Jesus Christ do miracles in our midst. That's what we claim we believe. That's who we claim we are. I don't want to be predictable. I don't want people to say same old, same old. No, it's not. You have power. You have power. Look at me. Fasten your eyes upon me. You ever notice that when they got ready to pray for somebody, sometimes they'd tell them. That's what Peter said. He said, look at me. He wanted to see the whites of his eyes. Fasten your eyes upon us. Jesus would look him right in the eye. Fear not. Fear not. You love the Lord, don't you? I want you to say this. Don't say it if you don't mean it. But I want you to say it. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I have power. I have power. Say it. I have power. Say it again. I have power. Filled you with his Holy Spirit, did he not? God filled you with his Holy Spirit. He's praying for you right now. Those tears that's falling out of his eyes, they're for you right now. But they're for other people in here too. I have power. Why, if I have something, would I want to withhold it from those that need it? But it's not that we're mean or selfish. Just sometimes we're backed into a corner. We don't know how to get out. How do I release it, God? You're doing it right now. God sees every tear. He sees it. We're going to break down the walls. I'm not going to allow anything to stand between me and God anymore. You got a bathroom where you write things, so do I. I got written on my wall, God. I don't want anything between me and you, God. Nothing between me and you. I don't want nothing between you and me. I don't mind people getting close to me. I don't mind the world closing in on me. But I don't never want the path between you and I to be blocked by anything. And God, I'm asking you tonight, Lord, to rebuke the spirit of fear and doubt in this building. God, and help our unbelief. Help our unbelief. Help our unbelief. God, turn our faith loose and get rid of our unbelief. Stand up, brother. Take a look around. Pick you out some people you'd like to see God get right here tonight. You got them on your mind? You got them on your mind? Shata yalaba. In the name of Jesus. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Turn around and look, brother. See some people? Put your eyes on them. Take a good look. Everybody in the building, stand up. Stand up with me, please. Look around. Fasten your eyes on somebody. Look at them. Look at them. Pick out somebody in this church service. They need God tonight. We need God here tonight. I don't want it to be just another Sunday night. I love all of you people. I don't want to leave here tonight and you say, we're happy to have you, Brother East. Thanks for coming. I hope you come again. I want you to go home and say, tonight was not a night for anybody in particular. It was a night for everybody. Tonight is a night when God opened the windows of heaven and poured out his presence and his blessings upon everyone in the building. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. 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 I give all to Jehovah. I give it all. I give all to Jehovah. That's right, brother. I was coming to get you to come help me. In the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking you right now to let your power fill my brother, God. Let him become a vessel tonight of deliverance, Lord. Let his prayers tonight, God, be the prayers of faith. Let this be the prayers that he's going to pray at this altar that you're going to hear and you're going to move and you're going to touch, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I mean it, God, tonight. Hallelujah. I give all to Jehovah. Hallelujah. 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 Help us to mean it, God. Hallelujah. 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 I give all to you tonight, God. I give it all, God. I'm not going to hold anything back in the name of Jesus. God, lay your hand on my brother, Lord. Endue him with power from on high. In the name of Jesus Christ, let your spirit be inside of him, God, like a fire shut up in his bones that he can't control it, God. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. I love you, 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 Jesus. There's nobody like you, Jesus. There's nobody like you, Jesus. You've been there every time, God. You've healed us when we needed you, God. You were there for our family. You were there when we didn't know it. I thank you tonight, God. I ask you, overshadow me, God, and give me power I never imagined. Hallelujah. 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 God, let me say it and mean it, God. Let this be my night to get rid of everything I don't need. To open my heart, God. Open it up completely. And allow you to take residence in there. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, hallelujah. 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 God, may we never say this word again unless we mean it. Hallelujah. 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 I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I want to know, God, that I'm in your will. I want to know you, Lord, and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings, God. I want to know you. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, God. Tonight I'm going to act upon what you're doing in my life. Tonight, God, I'm going to leave committed. Tonight, God, I'm going to make change in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything, God. Everything, God. I want to leave everything here tonight, God, that I don't need. I want to leave it here, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Break down every wall, God. Every fetter, God. Knock them all down tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
We're not done yet. We're not done yet.
We're not done yet. We're not done yet. We're not done yet. You still got walls standing. There's still something between us and God. It has to go tonight. God, by the power of the Holy Ghost. We need a victory song. We need a victory dance. We need to shout to the highest. We're not going home in bad moods. We're not going to go home down and out. We're going to leave here tonight full of the victory of God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, of a sound mind. And you're able, God, to cancel it out. Cancel it out in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. 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 Don't take anything with you you don't need. I can't stop praising your name.